Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Talk to college football, because that's what we do on the Chuck Oliver Show. Wherever you're listening, Mobile, what's up? Huntsville, you too. Everybody in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, you name it, Arkansas, Kentucky, South Carolina, we're all over everywhere. So I appreciate everybody making that possible. Been doing it since the beginning of the 14th season. So thank y'all. Also want to thank Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. He showed up. Bottom of hour one, we talked college football and the draft like we do. About 10 minutes, Mark Schlabaugh, of course, senior writer from ESPN.com. He will be on to talk, among other things, a little bit of high school football. But Anwar Richardson as well, bottom of the hour. You know, Texas wrapped up spring. And we will talk with Anwar from Rivals.com. Again, talking University of Texas Longhorns football. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, Ole Miss fires offensive line coach. Well, that was about 3 days after the spring game, the Grove Bowl. And it was after the only season in which Randy Clements was the offensive line coach for the Rebels, led the SEC in rushing yards per game, and threw the sixth highest number of passes, gave up the fourth fewest number of sacks. I don't know. Seems like it was working a little bit. The official announcement, quote, after meeting with Coach Clements, determined in the best interest of both parties. Grateful for the job he did, wish him well. Sources said that it was for football reasons, not related to any off-the-field issues. If you're talking about like legalities and such, arrest or scandals, that part is true. I don't know that it was football reasons, because the football reasons seem to be working out. I'll admit, I tell you, I texted somebody out there. I was told they didn't get along, and the boss is the boss. And I was told after he fired Clements, Jeff Lebby didn't like it very much, and Lane Kiffin reiterated, okay, you're on record. You have registered your vote. The boss is the boss. So, again, as far as I know from somebody out there, I'm talking in Oxford. Yeah, that's kind of how it unfolded. Headline, I love this. SEC and Sun Belt update COVID-19 protocols. You know what the update is? Fully vaccinated and asymptomatic? You ain't got protocols. Fully vaccinated, double shot, yo, and asymptomatic, you ain't got a distance. There will be no hula hoops on the football field during practice, and you have to stay in your hula hoop. That happened last year, folks. Hula hoops. None of that. SEC has made that official. The Sun Belt is, I think, going to announce, if they haven't already. I think they're going to today, maybe. When it comes to any coach, player, or staff, you don't have to anymore. What's going to happen is all the other conferences are going to do the same thing. We're starting to get way more announcements now. In fact, I saw two this morning. Various sports entities have announced, beginning May 15th, one of them, the other May 7th. Full capacity, full bore, man, full go. The SEC's doing the same thing. Headline, NCAA President Mark Emmert's contract extended through 2025. I have a theory about this. I believe this was done for show. with an understanding that Mark Emmert will retire in like a year, and that with 4 years remaining, three, Mark Emmert's decided there's good leadership in the wings, and he's going to move on. I think this was done just to let him kind of exit without it being, well, his contract ran out, and we were all looking for. I think this was done just for show. Consider yourself up to date. There is one more headline that I was going to get to, but we're going to talk about it in just a second anyway. And the headline, I saw it this morning, appropriately enough, at ESPN.com from Mark Schlabaugh's controversial high school football coach, Rush Probst, won't have contract renewed in Valdosta, Georgia. Now, we're going to have Mark on, like I said, in about 5 minutes. But Rush Probst, who I've already told you two things. People are saying his career's done. Hey, boy, he stepped in it this time. Over and done. He'll never coach again, folks. He's going to coach this season. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing I told you is he's going to coach this season, and it's going to be at a good program. Folks, you think this is going to bury Rush Probst? He had a second family, and it didn't bury. Like, hi, wife number one. Here's wife number two. Dog number two. Son number. I mean, it was all just two families, and he coached again. He got fired for ethical this. He got fired from a place he won two state titles at Colquitt. Two state titles at Colquitt County in South Georgia in, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. They fired him. Ethical, all these charges. Folks, he not only got hired again for the very next season, he got hired at the high school to coach football at. I mean, literally, it's not just he got hired again. He got hired at Wintersville, USA, Valdosta. Like, the program hired him. And you think him talking about stuff on tape to a booster club president? Nah, he's going to be coaching this season, and it's going to be at a good program. He's going to win. Promise you. There is a piece up. Mark Schlabaugh had it at ESPN.com last night. We were going to take a quick break, come back with the ESPN senior writer, talk a little Rush Probst, and also some SEC. That's next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
That Rush Probst has conducted himself like a scoundrel is not news. That it's on tape, him claiming all of the specific instances where he has acted like a scoundrel just since he showed up in Valdosta, as well as what happened back in Birmingham, allegedly, alleged by him. That was news, and that kind of got everybody's attention. And then I think the number one high school football coaching job in America, after one season with Rush Probst, said, yeah, you're fired. Now, what I have really kind of marveled at is how many people have said, well, that's the end of him. I was like, folks, he was a head coach at a place in South Georgia, and he won two state titles in like 6 years. They fired him from that school, and that they don't do that. two state titles in 5 or 6 years. And so, and he didn't just get hired. He got hired at the number one place in America. He got hired at the place to coach football. Want to welcome? He's going to coach again, folks. I promise you. Want to welcome on now a guy who he wrote about it. I was reading last night, and the news is official. Rush Probst is out in Valdosta. Want to welcome on from ESPN. It is Mark Schlabaugh. Mark, how are you today?
Good, Chuck. How you doing?
Doing all right. Not a surprising outcome for Rush Probst. And I just comment on what I was saying there, that, you know, there's his career's over. I'm like, y'all are out of your mind. He's going to coach somewhere this season, and I think he'll probably win. But give me your take. If you disagree, please tell me.
I don't think it'll be in the state of Georgia. There's a open investigation by the Professional Standards Commission, which oversees teaching certificates in the state of Georgia. And they had previously suspended him when he was fired from Colquitt County for allegedly administering medication to his players, and he owed a bunch of back taxes and something else. He was reinstated, I think, last April, and then Valdosta hired him shortly after that. So it might not be in the state of Georgia. It might not be in the state of Alabama. But last time I checked, there were still 48 other states in America with a lot of high schools that want to have winning football programs. So nothing would surprise me nowadays.
All right. I want to ask you one draft question, even though, I mean, we don't talk draft ever. How surprised were you, I'm assuming you were, when suddenly Mac Jones went from a guy that, hey, maybe somebody will trade into the end of the first round to get that fifth-year option, to suddenly he's being talked about realistically, and I'll say now there are folks saying likely, to number three with the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't know that the talk was that rich. Walk me through that through your brain.
I mean, he's a good quarterback, no question about it. I mean, he did a tremendous job in that offense. The thing that would concern me, and NFL scouts and general managers know a lot more about it than I do, but, I mean, you and I might be able to talk to Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and watch them run. I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's probably a better NFL prospect than a guy like AJ McCarron or somebody like that. But he came out of nowhere, no question about it, because there were some serious questions about his ability to replace Tua, and he did that and more. So, I mean, good for him.
All right, let's talk a couple of SEC programs quickly post-spring, and we'll just bounce around. I was on an interview yesterday, and somebody, and I wrote it down. I was like, wait a minute, I want to get this right. How will Auburn fans react if they don't win 9 games this year? I'm like, let's talk about that expectation there. That's not a 9-win team to me. It may be a 9-win roster. But there's a whole lot of changes going on in Auburn right now, including a complete teardown and rebuild of the starting quarterback. What's your opinion on Auburn's potential this year?
I agree with you. I think 7, 8, maybe more realistic. I was talking to some Auburn fans over the weekend. They were asking me if Mike Bobo would be able to resurrect the quarterback. And, you know, I think Nix is a good quarterback. He's obviously got really good bloodlines and pedigree, seemed to be a fish out of water at times in Malzahn's offense. I think Mike's going to put him under center a little bit more, run pro style, and you know, just break him down mechanically and try to build him back up. But, I mean, they've got nice pieces there, but, you know, the offensive line's got to get better. I'm going to be honest with you, Chuck. I don't know a lot about Brian Harsin just because I didn't watch State a ton, but it's definitely outside the box for that place.
Let's bounce over to the East real quick. Kirby in Athens. Is he feeling it a little bit as far as the, quote, pressure, expectations, gripping it, whatever? Because I remember Steve Spurrier saying, I guess 10 wins just not good enough anymore. Where's Kirby's mindset right now entering this season, do you believe?
He feels like he's got a chance, with JT Daniels at quarterback. We'll see how much they truly open it up and if they're less conservative on offense. I think, you know, the last few years, I think wide receiver has really been Achilles heel. The injury to George Pickens certainly hurts because I think he's the one guy that can really just take over and beat you over the top. They've got some nice young receivers to fly. You know, Pickens is really a difference maker for them. The secondary, they picked up the Tyke Smith kid. I think his name is from West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
To shore up the corner spot. their defensive line is going to be really, really good and really deep. The linebackers are going to be really good. But, you know, defensively, I think the defense and running game is going to have to carry them for a little bit. And we'll see, you know, if JT Daniels, you know, he didn't play Murderer's Row at the end of the season. So we'll have to see if he can do it for 11 games.
Mark, before I let you run, one more question about Georgia. You know, when Jeremy Foley retired from Gainesville, I mean, that was a sort of, hey, let's start the show with this the next day. Even Barry Alvarez, I mean, I was like, folks, this is a vacuum. The reason Wisconsin Athletics, you know, Barry Alvarez, I don't think nearly enough was made about Greg McGarrity, because he opened up the book and was like, all right, we're going to spend some money now. And again, I'm sure that everybody, you know, on board with the new AD, but that was a big deal for Georgia athletics and specifically football from the days that I thought they were going to get like a Butler building and like a 40-yard indoor grass, you know, a fake grass field to the eventual facilities that they got. I don't think enough was made about Greg McGarrity leaving.
No, I mean, look, they gave Kirby Smart everything Mark Richt wanted, right? Yeah. They kind of choked Mark Richt out at the end, and they definitely opened the coffers, and Greg and his team did a tremendous job of raising money from Georgia fans who wanted to be able to compete with Alabama and Ohio State and everybody else. And Josh Brooks was kind of his right-hand man. I think this is the guy Kirby wanted in the position. And, you know, I don't think much will change. I think Josh Brooks' first order of business is going to be figuring out what they're going to do with basketball and if Tom Crean can turn it around. But I think football is just pretty much status quo.
Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Mark Schlabaugh again, ESPN.com, senior writer there. And because Jeremy, it was such a long tenure, including a lot of it with Greg McGarrity as the lieutenant there. But it was a totally different environment. I was saying like a Butler building in a 40-yard, you know, field of fake grass. That's sort of what the talk was. If you go all the way back to the early 00s, when Mark Richt showed up, he's like, oh, man, again, I wanted better facilities here. And I've told the story before. It was the day after Thanksgiving, 2004, broadcasting at a Starbucks in Athens, Georgia. And Damon Evans was the AD, and he came by. And I was asking about the indoor facility, about, you know, Coach Richt needs this. And what Coach Richt got fired 11 years later and never got his indoor facility. Not like I'm talking about what all the other coaches have. It just didn't happen. And so Kirby and Greg McGarrity, for whatever reason, those two got on the same page and the money started being spent. So it was a big deal made. Certainly the Barry Alvarez thing. And we talked about that actually with Dave Bartu some, because it affected, I mean, it was a sea change for all of Wisconsin athletics. And it started with him as the head coach, and then he bounced up to the AD and then returned to the sidelines. He might have done that twice. I think it was twice. But it wasn't sort of the, you know, the reputation that Phil Fulmer had for a long time, until he finally handed the gavel over and the keys and he was like, all right, I'm out. I'm not in charge of anything anymore. There was a thought over the last 3 years that at some point Phil Fulmer is going to wrangle his way back out on the sidelines. There was a thought that he was going to get back out on the sidelines. And I don't know if it was school wins, like overall, or SEC rankings, or maybe just rankings with SEC victories, you know, in conference games, whatever it was. But there was thought, and I heard people, you know, talk about, I know it's coming, just lay it in wait. It never happened. And I don't know if it ever would have. In fact, Phil Fulmer came out and said the opposite. But you see sometimes when, you know, the athletic director and the head coach, then they get back on the same page and it can change things. And so Phil Fulmer never did that. Barry Alvarez did. Yeah, like I said, I think it was a couple of times. But it was always just as an interim before he hired the next successful head football coach at Wisconsin. So there are athletic directors that when they leave, you do notice it. It's not really like an umpire. Hey, the best, you know, ADs, you never hear his name or her name. No, you do. And they set a standard that the next person has to live up to.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We had a number 10 washtub just spilling over with spring games this past weekend. Started on Friday night, but all day Saturday. And one of them I was talking about earlier in the week was the orange and white game with Tennessee. And I said I was really pleased because, and I'm not a Tennessee grad, I'm not a Tennessee fan, but I was really pleased because it's not just a new staff and a new playbook, and you know, it's that pace from Josh Heupel. And I was expecting him to come out and go vanilla, let the big dogs eat on the offensive line, run the ball a bunch, whatever. He was like, we're not doing that. They ran 99 plays, and those quarterbacks were letting it fly. Now, you get a guy like Hendon Hooker who has played a lot of football for a demanding coach like Justin Fuente. Well, all right, he's got a leg up on the competition. Steve Sarkisian doesn't have anybody like that. In fact, if you added up all the quarterbacks at his disposal, they've got about two quarters of actual game action where the outcome was in doubt. And so his offensive approach is a little different, Josh Heupel. I want to welcome on now our good friend from Rivals. It is Anwar Richardson. Anwar, my friend, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome. It's great to be talking with you as always, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, man. I got no complaints in the world. Talk about that Texas spring game, because Steve Sarkisian, it was not necessarily about bombs away, fling it downfield. And those quarterbacks, I don't think, would have been in a position to succeed if that was the approach. It was a pretty vanilla approach.
Yeah, you know, what was interesting about Sarkisian's approach is that he really wasn't necessarily looking to see who differentiates themselves within the quarterback competition. He was trying to actually measure, like, the intangibles. He wanted to see how guys got, you know, in and out of huddles. Were they running the right routes? Were, you know, they interacting with coaches? What were coaches saying on the sidelines? And so he kind of just took more of a hands-off approach, and that was really what he was judging. So, like, Sarkisian, he didn't call plays in the spring game. He delegated that to his assistants, and he just wanted to watch the measurables, the intangibles, the little things that he was hoping to see. So, you know, when you look at the stats, it's nothing to be impressed about. I mean, you have Casey Thompson, who looked great in the bowl game for at least a quarter and change, but he completed 23 of 42 passes, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Hudson Card, who's the other quarterback in this competition, completes 15 of 25, a buck 68, I believe, with one touchdown. So you have one touchdown pass thrown between two quarterbacks, and you say to yourself, oh, well, that's nothing to be impressed about. But what the thing that Sarkisian said was, well, he was looking for the other things he wanted to see, the leadership component, you know, certain throws, were they, you know, close or were they accurate? I mean, essentially, they spent 14 practices really, really working on install, and this spring game was almost the equivalent of a pickup basketball game. It was just throwing guys out there, trying to do a certain couple of things, not showing any of their cards. And so you had guys running things that, you know, they were working more on the installation stuff, playbook stuff. This wasn't really it. So I have to trust Sarkisian and his, you know, his experience, his expertise, on that. And then, you know, I started thinking about it, and I started, trying to do some research. I was like, well, this is a little bit, you know, different. But I went back to the 2019 spring game, and it wasn't like they were like bombs away either. If you look at Tua, he threw for 265, one touchdown and one interception. He was 19 of 37 for passing that year. I would think you would agree that Tua, when he was healthy, was pretty good in 2019, right?
Yeah, he wasn't completing half his passes. He was completing like 75% of them.
Correct. And so, and Mac Jones actually did pretty well in that game as well. So
yeah, but we also know there's a chance that spring game, one of those passes was thrown to Joe Namath or someone. I mean, that's a spring, like he threw to Mark Ingram. So you're right about spring stats, but I don't care. Let me see how you got to those stats.
Yes, that's the main thing. So when I look at Sarkisian's record, it didn't really look great for starting quarterbacks in spring games because he's measuring all these other intangibles. Yep. So he feels like he has two quarterbacks that will be able to compete and be able to compete at a high level. And, you know, this is a competition that I anticipate that won't be settled until the fall.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the two guys a little bit more. If you watched the bowl game, you probably got an introduction to Casey Thompson. Wow, what a diverse talent. And then there's another kid, and you mentioned him, Hudson Card. He's a redshirt freshman. Just give us the overview, because does Sarkisian want to do the same thing with both kids?
Well, you know, the thing is, well, first of all, he's not looking for a quarterback that's going to be a scrambler. Like, he's not necessarily looking for a dual threat. If they run and get out the pocket, fine.
Okay.
That's not what he's asking either quarterback to do. So, you know, like Casey Thompson can't scramble, but, you know, he's got a good arm. I would say Hudson Carr probably has a little bit of a better arm than Casey does. I think he throws a little bit of a stronger ball. I won't say necessarily more accurate, but he definitely has a strong ball. Now, the Hudson Card's problem is, as a lot of young people, he throws too strong all the time, right?
So, everything's Mach 2.
Yes, and so that's the problem. As you know, with young quarterbacks, Chuck, a lot of times they're just slinging. It's like, okay, sometimes you got to do some touch. And so, you know, Steve Sarkisian is in a really interesting situation because, like you said, Casey Thompson looked great against Colorado, 4 touchdowns in a quarter. I mean, it was a fantastic performance. You had Sam Ellinger, who started the game, and you said to yourself as he went into halftime, ooh, you know, this could be a rough game. Sam Ellinger gets a shoulder injury. He can't play in the second half. Hudson, and then Casey Thompson comes in, I apologize, and it's just like a totally different team with the same players, by the way. And it looked like a totally different team. And so now Casey Thompson comes into this quarterback battle. And this is the biggest thing that you got to take a mental note, Chuck. You know, this is a guy who he's going to graduate within, like, you know, the next couple of weeks or whatever it is. And he will be eligible to be a grad transfer. And because of last year didn't count and he graduated early, he'll have 3 years of eligibility remaining. Yes, so he has 3 years of eligibility. So if by any chance he feels like he's out of this competition, even if he transfers in August, because I have every reason to believe if he's losing, he's out. So if he transfers in August, then fine, he sits somewhere and he still has 2 more years of eligibility left. But at this moment, if he decides, hey, you know what, I'm done, 3 years, and that's going to be appealing to a lot of programs. And so, you know, I think Sarkisian, he has to be smart on how he plays this because he really only has 3 scholarship quarterbacks right now. He's got, you know, the 2 guys that I mentioned in the true freshman by the name of Charles Wright. So if you leave Casey to the transfer portal and he gets snatched up, you basically have Hudson Carr and a true freshman, and that is not a lot of wiggle room there. So I think that even though the coaches don't want to say it, I think that will play a factor at some point in this assessment.
Wrapping up, Lamar Richardson again, rivals.com. We have both mentioned Sam Ellinger a couple of times, and he was essentially a 4-year starter. I mean, that's what he was. He had a rare opportunity. He could have been a 5th-year starter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was the bowl game, Casey Thompson, coaching. I don't know what it was, but for him personally, I know there's all manner of context. I don't know what his Sunday future is. I mean, I don't, as an NFL guy, I don't know if it would have changed with 1 more year, but I know he would have played. Just walk me through Sam Ellinger's brain and what was probably going on when he made his decision, because he could have come back and played.
He could have came back for 1 more year, but, you know, Sam Ellinger is a guy that, you know, has played since he was a freshman, battled through a lot of injuries. His dream was to play at the University of Texas. His other dream was to play in the NFL. But, you know, he comes off a year where it didn't go their way. You know, another year where they don't get to the Big 12 championship. He went to 1 Big 12 championship. He was 1-4 against OU. I just don't think he wanted to do the rebuild. I just think that he was, at that point, he was over it. He said he did. He accomplished what he wanted to do. He played 4 years at Texas, and now it's time for him to go on to the next journey. Now, what's interesting is Sam Ehlinger is probably a guy that you're not going to get drafted high. He's a day three to undrafted. And so I really think you start talking about Sam Ehlinger anywhere from the sixth round to and beyond. And like I said, sixth to potentially undrafted. He's a guy that I think, if I had to project, Chuck, I think he's a guy that is on a team for a little bit of time. I think he makes a practice squad potentially. He's in the league for a couple of years. And then I think he's Kellen Moore. I think he's a guy that ends up transitioning into coaching, and I think he's a guy that you'll probably see as an offensive coordinator several years from now. But I think that's his trajectory. Could he be a career backup? Maybe, potentially, because he's a student. Again, the one thing that's been talked about a lot is that he's interviewed great. They love his football IQ.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean he went to the same high school as Drew Brees did. So I mean there's a Westlake High School that's known for producing really good talented quarterbacks. So he's got the football IQ. I'm just not quite sure he's got the arm strength to do it in the NFL. I think it's a couple of years in the NFL, and then he's on a coaching path.
All right. After I saw Bijan Robinson play, I was like, all right, I see all five stars out there.
That's your guy.
That's just a grown man, no doubt about it. But I want to ask you, Gabriel Watson, I tell you what, Anwar, if bottom line, just raw, obscene amount of production can get you a scholarship, a trade up in college football. Tell everybody about Gabriel Watson, because he did not start out at Texas.
Yeah, so I mean, Gabriel Watson is a really funny, story, because he was originally played up, Sioux Falls, and that's where he was at.
Division II
for a while, and then Division II, and he comes to Texas last year as a grad transfer. Doesn't really play a lot at all, and you kind of think he's a forgotten man. And I literally forgot that he existed up until the spring game. And next thing you know, he was very active. He had 8 carries during that game. He also had 2 catches. So, they have a decent running back room. It's Bijan Robinson. That's your guy, right? Bijan is your guy. You love him as a running back. He's got NFL future written all over him. But when you start looking for guys behind him, the Roschon Johnsons, Gabriel Watson, I think Bijan ends up being the bell cow, because that's Steve Sarkisian's MO. If you just look through his history, whether it's Bishop Sankey at Washington or whether it was Najee at Alabama, he runs bell cows. Yeah. I think that's what happens with Bijan, and then it's just these other guys will fill in after him.
Yeah, and Anwar, it almost sounds like, because I was looking at him, I was like, I don't know that kid. And then I was like, wait a minute, I remember that story. Doesn't it look like the back of a baseball card, a kid going through the minor leagues? He starts out at Pomona, then Diablo Valley, then Sioux Falls, and now he gets called up to the bigs.
It is absolutely. And he won the Harlan Hill Award, when he was at Sioux Falls. But that's like a D2 Heisman Trophy, right? I mean,
absolutely.
He was amazing that while he was there, but he still wanted to prove himself because he still has the dream. And so, first of all, not a bad idea to get a grad degree from the University of Texas. Secondly, you have a chance to, to potentially maybe turn some heads or maybe get an NFL look at some point. So if he ever makes the NFL roster, it definitely is a Disney story, and you should have all the rights to it.
Absolutely. All right. Anwar, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, my buddy.
All right. Anwar Richardson from Rivals again. Yeah, Gabriel Watson was a freshman. Let's go back to 2016. He was a freshman at Pomona College. Then he transferred to a place called Diablo Valley College. Then he transferred to Sioux Falls, and it was just Sioux Falls. It's not college, university, it's just Sioux Falls. And he led Division II in rushing yards and touchdowns. And he's like, hello, I'm on the market. And so he lands, he goes from Pomona, Diablo Valley, Sioux Falls to the University of Texas. And after the spring game, there's a chance, because he's got one more year, that's it, just one more go around. That he may actually have a little bit of a role this fall. And so that's what I talk about all the time. And I don't mean to sound like ABC after school special. I love when kids get their chance. And exactly what Anwar was saying there is, like, Chuck, he's a kid that started out in, like, junior college, like community, like where they have to let you in. Everybody gets to go. That's where he started out. And now he's at the University of Texas getting a graduate degree for free. So it's all awesome. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap up on a Wednesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
What Kyle sees in Mac Jones is what he saw and coached with Matt Ryan, with Kirk Cousins. He sees, you know, he sees a lot of what Joe Burrow brought to the table. A lot of those things, that's what he sees.
Okay, works for me. I'd be Chris Landry, and when you start talking about some of the names, like when you start comparing quarterbacks to guys like Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Matt Ryan, and Mac Jones is getting all of Joe Burrow. Mac Jones is one of those guys getting a lot of comparisons right now, so always appreciate him coming on. That is every Wednesday, and with the NFL draft, the first round tomorrow night, and then the next two rounds Friday, all day Saturday, wrap up. Next week we'll have a big draft wrap up with Chris Landry when he joins us again a week from now. But you can get that in the interim and live at LandryFootball.com tomorrow night, live during the draft. But also in the interim, pick by pick, team by team, when the draft is complete, you can get the full write-ups there online at LandryFootball.com. Dan Matthews is going to pop in here in just a couple of minutes, but right now I'm going to wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
If you were watching the Orange Bowl a decade back, you had a preview for virtually every bowl game going forward. For the vast majority of bowl games, the attitude about them is clear. They've become the first game of the next season. I recall sitting down January 2010. I was going to watch 9 versus 10 in the Orange Bowl. Georgia Tech versus Iowa. And the entire commentary leading up to kick was whichever team won, that is the springboard into the next season. They'll be preseason top 5 following August. Now, it was an apt take and a pretty enjoyable game, other than I remember it being really, really cold that night in Miami for some reason. Everybody looked like they were freezing. But it was an enjoyable enough game, and Iowa got the dub, and maybe they were preseason top 5. I think that, again, it was 9 versus 10. Georgia Tech was the 9. They fell to 11, and Iowa bounced up to like 7 or so. Similar to so many other trends that an emergency simply accelerates, like pandemic, almost all bowls are going to be blatantly talked about by their committees, their representatives, etc., and by the coaches whose teams are playing in them as previews to the next season. That is the actual use for these games, and it has become even more blatant over the past 5 or 6 years when these superstars started sitting out. It's just going to be a much more organized situation where there's almost an expectation that the departing senior, whether he's Christian McCaffrey and a top 10 pick, or he's just a guy that started a lot of games at right tackle, there is almost an expectation that if you have a senior, an upperclassman, a guy who is on his way out of the program, maybe we want to see the freshman or the sophomore get some run against a quality opponent in Dallas or Shreveport or Charlotte or wherever our bowl game is. They will be talked about blatantly as previews to the next season. It's the case as it's actually what they are right now. I think the language will start to reflect that. All right, that wraps up my closing argument. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shinar, and Associates. Wherever you are in the Deep South, when you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shinar, and Associates. What up, Dan?
You know, when it comes to the pre-draft process and the screening and the evaluation and everything, like we heard from Nick Saban earlier, the but, those things that are on the scouting report for you. I will say this. If I were a scout or an administrator, general manager, whatever it might be, I'm talking to the coach, talking to teammates, strength and conditioning coach, even the trainer. Do they come in? Do they take care of themselves? Do they get the treatment? All those different types of things. Basically, there is a long list of people I'm going to talk with. One of them on that list is not Colin Cowherd. And I don't know if you just saw this recently, but he talked about how he has offered up pieces of information about players to general managers, which I'm not really sure I believe that. But with him being out in Los Angeles, he has also talked about how multiple GMs have reached out to him and asked about players within the USC program. And he says, oh, doesn't work hard. Oh, often injured, all these different types of things. Number one, I asked Colin Cowherd when the fact of the matter is you didn't even know that the eventual Heisman Trophy winner went and played at Ohio State when Urban Meyer was sitting right in front of you. So now you expect me to believe that you have the inside skinny on everything that happens within the USC program and you could possibly pass along information to a potential employer that could affect their future. And you expect me to believe that you're doing that and saying, oh, hey, you know what? I'm just trying to help. No, you're trying to build clout is what you're trying to do. And you're trying to pad your brand and have everybody say, oh, yeah, Colin Cowherd, he knows everything there is about football. We should definitely listen to him. I would say that probably there is a good amount of shame on him for offering up that and saying that is the case, because aside from Keaton Slovis, I'm not even sure that he necessarily even knows who else is on that roster, or maybe even that Clay Helton is the head coach at USC at the current moment. But let's just say for the sake of argument, it is true, Chuck. If you're an NFL general manager and you're going to Colin Cowherd about this, I think you got larger issues.
I always try to, and I didn't used to do this. I understood what my meaning was, and so I was just very casual with my language. I've gotten very explicit with my language now. Like early in the program, I'll hold up the phone. I was like, guys, not me. Somebody in Oxford. Somebody in Fayetteville. Somebody in Athens. I ain't there. Try to talk all the time. We're not at practice. We don't know. I just want to know people who know. I'll never have better insight for the Florida Gators than somebody in Gainesville. Never, ever, ever. But if I know a bunch of people in Gainesville, then you get that. I always, absolutely. It is such dicey stuff when you start talking about kids' work ethic and lazy and effort and, you know, character and all that. And honestly, in almost every case, it's a kid we've never even met. Never been closer than watching play on the field. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday. Back tomorrow. More The Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.